This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report for Friday, March 18th. I don't often date them, but when I'm dealing with what's happening in the Ukraine, I want to give the listeners a perspective, especially since I know that many of you will be listening to this a long time later, and I want you to know the circumstances in which I recorded it. Today, I'm talking to Mike Evans. He just got back from the Ukraine. In fact, he's only been back about 48 hours. So what he tells us today is what he saw with his own eyes. And he's my friend, and we were texting back and forth. And when I found out that he just got back, I said, Mike, let's record a podcast. So this is sort of hot off the press. Well, that's not the right analogy, is it, for a podcast? But you know what I mean. And I've been doing a lot of podcasts about the Ukraine, trying to cover the story the best as I can. And today, Mike Evans, who is an expert on so many things, as we discuss, he's been in so many war zones, so involved. In fact, he flew to the Ukraine from Jerusalem. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss my conversation with Mike Evans.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, I'm happy to interview Mike Evans, who's a longtime friend. He's also a best-selling author, and he just got back from the Ukraine. And also, Mike, I'm proud of the fact that you've just been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Congratulations on that. But you just got back from the Ukraine a relatively few hours ago. And I wanted to hear from you what you saw in the Ukraine and what you believe is happening and going to happen.
Right. Well, number one, we've had a ministry in the Ukraine for over a decade helping Holocaust survivors and Jewish orphans. So we're very invested in the Ukraine, and I wanted to go in there to help them. We brought a food truck in to get to the survivors because they're suffering terribly. But not only are they suffering, the pastors are. When I went in there to bring food, I started getting calls from pastors. Their congregations are absolutely starving right now because they're cut off from food supplies. One said, I'm getting rationed a loaf of bread a day, a loaf of bread a day. It's a disaster, Steve. I saw miles and miles of women and children waiting at the border. No men, just women and children. Heartbreaking, all in trauma, because 2 days, 3 days on the road, trains, 14 hours on the trains. By the way, the trains are totally dark. They don't turn any lights on. There's no water on the trains. So these people are coming off the trains in total shock.
Wow. So the food shortage is not only the bombing and all the other things, but there's no trucks delivering the food in the normal supply chain way.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are trying to help, but I'm most interested in what's really happening to the church, because I've been to the Ukraine too. It was back in the 90s. And so, of course, a lot of things have changed, but I've been aware that the Evangelical church, or more particularly the Pentecostal church, is pretty strong in the Ukraine. Someone said it was the strongest of any of the countries in Europe. So tell us exactly what's happening to the church, but then there are a lot of other things we need to discuss too.
Yeah, number one, the pastors have been astonishing. They're there. They're staying there for their congregations. Michael, which you know my son very well, in about a week and a half, Michael will be going into Kyiv, all the way to Kyiv with a massive truck to bring food to the pastors in containers for their congregations, because they're in terrible straits right now. But, you know, they're believers, they're strong, they're praying, they're positive, but it's the worst. I've been in 41 war zones. This is the worst I've seen.
And why is it worse?
I think it's because the women and the children. You know, there's no men leaving the country. The women and the children are leaving, and, you know, they don't even know if they're ever going to see their husband or their father again. And Putin is hitting everything now. He's hitting civilian targets. It's, you know, the U.S. is talking about the airspace, and Zelensky is talking about the airspace. Most people don't know The Russians are not firing over Ukrainian airspace. They're firing their missiles over Russian airspace. 30 missiles hit where I was and killed 34 people and wounded 125, but they were fired from Russian airspace by planes.
And so what is the answer?
Well, we need it. We need massive prayer right now, Stephen. Putin is in a demonic, obsessive corner, like a cornered rat. He believes that he's fighting for Russia. He believes that Russia is at the point of complete annihilation because of democracy. He believes the Ukrainian democracy is an existential threat, and that's why he's attacking Ukraine. This is very dangerous because this is a trillionaire. Now, I never heard the word. Donald Trump told me that over dinner. I said, what is it about Putin that you most respect? He said he's a trillionaire. Well, I never heard that word until Donald Trump said it. So here's a trillionaire with half the nuclear weapons of the world at his disposal. Very dangerous.
You mentioned Donald Trump, and I know that you were a confidant of his. When Donald Trump was in, none of these bad guys tried anything. I mean, you can say what you will, but they all behaved. And now we have a very weak administration. And, you know, there are people who are actually saying this could be World War III. What do you think?
Well, I think they're right. It could be. It is World War III. Right now, I'm seeing massive amounts of trucks lining up. They're coming from all over the West to Ukraine. So all the Western states are bringing in weapons into Ukraine. So in essence, it is World War III. But what has not happened yet is nuclear. The nuclear hasn't begun yet. By God's grace, it won't. But you're right about Donald Trump. They were afraid of him. He was really strong. I think the Afghanistan embarrassment opened the floodgates for Putin to believe that he could run over us right now. And by the way, he is. He is running over us right now. What are we threatening him with? Sanctions? He's made more money off of his oil than all the sanctions combined against him.
You know that part of the world really well, and you're well connected with the church. I've heard from someone, in fact, at Charisma News, where we have a writer who's actually writing a story now that Putin particularly has it in for the Pentecostals. Now, I'm guessing that's in Russia as well. Are you aware of that?
I can tell you, I had dinner with the former president of Bulgaria, and he told me that the chancellor, Helmut Kohl, called him, and she said, Putin called me and said, do you know who I'm sitting next to? She said, no, I'm in Berlin. You're in Moscow. How could I know? He said, I'm sitting next to the Russian Orthodox Patriarch. I meet with him every month. I'm the savior of the Orthodox Church of the world. Now, Putin believes that. He believes he's the savior of the Orthodox Church of the world. And oh, by the way, he believes Russia is the savior of the world. He believes that his form of socialism is real. It is only reality, and all the rest of them are polluted.
So where do you think this is going?
It's very dangerous. Number one, economic war. We're winning an economic war against Putin. We're winning a media war. We're embarrassing him. We're humiliating him. The only problem with hostage negotiations is you can't enrage the perpetrator. You've got to calm him down to negotiate. We're not doing that with Putin. We're doing everything to make him crazy. Now, Putin could use his nuclear option. My biggest concern, if he does it, he'll do it on Ukraine. He'll do it on Ukraine because, you know, he's unrestrained right now. And this is one human being, one single human being, who's the most powerful person on the planet right now with the nuclear weapons and an army. And he's unrestrained. So it's very, very dangerous. We've got to pray really hard that these demon spirits in him will be bound in the mighty name of Jesus.
Well, before our podcast is over, I want you to pray. And I know many people are praying. Earlier this week, Cindy Jacobs and some other leaders, Chuck Pierce, I interviewed him earlier this week. They had a massive prayer meeting with people all over the world. You know, the problem is it's hard to quantify how that works. You know, we're dealing in the spiritual realm, which you and I and believers believe is more real than the physical world. But Yeah. You're dealing with economics and you're dealing with the media. It's the natural world. How will we see that these prayers are being answered?
Well, don't you think the Bible talks about travailing and birth pains and shaking? You did quite a story on David Wilkerson's prophecy about the shaking taking place. Well, it seems like everything that can be shaken has been shaken right now. And I think it's for believers. We have to run to the rock. Listen, I woke up to an attack on about 5 a.m. in Ukraine. The sirens going off. I heard Ukrainians hollering. I didn't know what they were saying. And they were telling you to go hide. And I said to myself, well, I'm going to go hide right now. The only place I can hide is in Jesus. He's my hiding place. And I'm in this tiny little room, and I just drew my strength from Corey's word, Jesus is my hiding place. And God gave me peace. I didn't know if the bomb was going to hit the building or not. I knew it killed 34 people and wounded over 100 and something. But, you know, I think believers have to get back to the Lord. They have to get on their face and realize this is really a serious spiritual battle between darkness and light.
Where were you in the Ukraine? And I'm under the impression that the airplanes aren't flying. So how did you get in and how did you get out?
Well, I flew from Jerusalem to Warsaw and then drove from Warsaw to Lviv, Ukraine, came across the border with a truck of food and very hard to get accommodation. So I was probably in the worst room I ever stayed in my whole life. The night that the attack happened, and it just so happened the worst attack in Ukraine happened in Lviv, and it was Russian planes in Russian airspace firing ICBMs, 30 missiles. By the way, they were trying to destroy shipments of American missiles, American armaments that were coming in. They were trying to hit that.
You know, you've studied Bible prophecy. You've been in and out of Israel. You saw what happened with the historic time when Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I mean, that was a happy, high moment. The Abrahamic Accords, you know, it looked like finally something was working. We had a strong president, you know, for a couple of years. As I said earlier, there were no bad guys who did anything. Donald Trump, someone said, was the first president, I guess, since Reagan, before Reagan, not to get us into a new war. I mean, Reagan even got us into the war in Grenada, you know, as small as that was. So now this is happening. There's almost like there's a vacuum. And the Bible talks about a world leader rising up and saying, peace, peace. You know, there's no real leader. You mentioned Putin. Putin is strong. I think he sees himself as a world leader, but the world's not willing to take him on as a leader.
No.
Could this lead to some leader rising up and saying, peace, peace, and everybody turns toward him? That's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of forerunning going on because you're seeing the confederation, consolidation of nations. And by the way, you spoke about Jerusalem, the recognition of the embassy. I'll tell you something no one knows. I'm with David Friedman at the King David Hotel in the Oaks Room, and he was very discouraged. This was the former ambassador to Israel for Trump. And I said, what's the matter? He said, the president's not going to recognize Jerusalem. I said, why? He said, because the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense are opposing it. And so I said, David, let's pray. So I took his hands in the Oak Room and I prayed. And then I looked at him. I said, David, I got a word from the Lord for you. I said, get on a plane, fly to Washington, D.C. You are his attorney. And don't leave the White House until you get a yes. Tell him if he'll recognize Jerusalem, the evangelical base will have such fire in their belly that they'll support him in a way he couldn't imagine. Now, David did just what I said. He called me from the White House and he said, we did it, Mike, we did it. I said, no, David, we didn't do it. God did it. But it was this wonderful man, David Friedman, and it was the evangelical base that became the reason why Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital.
Well, it was a wonderful moment. It was historic, and you're right. Evangelicals across this country rose up and supported him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I believe that he actually won, but that's a subject for a different day. Today, we're talking about the Ukraine. And so as we wrap up this short podcast, I want to give you the last word, but I also want you to pray with me and my listeners, as you did with David Friedman just now. Let's just pray. God is not limited by time and space. We're recording this podcast. Well, people will be listening to it long after, you know, listeners will know how this whole works out in a way that you and I don't. So share with us your last thoughts and then lead us in prayer.
Well, I think that believers have to step up to the plate and unite with the brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine. You talked about them. They are hurting right now. They need all of our support that we can give them. And, you know, Daniel, the Bible says Daniel battled for 21 days and before he had a victory. So, Lord, I just pray that Bible believers will get serious on their face and they'll realize this is just a man, like Nebuchadnezzar was a man. But God, you raise up kings and you take them down. And Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, would bind these demon spirits in Putin that speak into him, that would kill, steal, and destroy these precious Ukrainians, especially these dear Holocaust survivors, that they feel like they're going through another Holocaust right now. They feel that way because of the bombs, the food deprivation, no water, no electricity, and the churches. So, Lord, we intercede. We know you're on the throne and there's no panic in heaven. And as Corey said, and as I prayed, Lord, you are our hiding place. And we do put our trust in you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And I just thank you for that prayer. And I thank you for contacting me right after you got back from the Ukraine. You know, we're trying to notify people on the platform God has given us on what's going on. And I just really appreciate your update. And also, I appreciate your friendship that goes all the way back to the 1970s.
To Jamie Buckingham.
That's right. And so thank you, Mike.
And love you, Steve. All the best.
I'm back in the studio, and I just wanted to close the podcast by reminding the listeners to pray for those people, just as Mike and I did, and also to get involved. I've gotten involved personally, and we have set up a fund through Christian Life Missions. That's our nonprofit partner. You can go to christianlifemissions.org. That's just the name, Christian Life Missions, written as if it's one word, an S on the end of missions.org. It's pretty easy to do, and you'll see several different ministries that we're raising money for, and 100% of what you give will go to them as quickly as we can pass it along, because we know that there is an urgency. So please give. And even after this war ends, there's going to be an enormous rebuilding process. So you want to continue to support them, even if you're listening to this a long time. And help us by sending this to your friends, by putting it on social media. It's our way to get out the word. And I've just been amazed at how many downloads we've gotten from the various podcasts that we've done on the Ukraine. In fact, you may want to check some of them out. They're very interesting, each in their own way. So thank you for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.